Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Hi, this is Ryan Fraser.
This is Troy Daly.
This is Gus Boyett.
This is Don Hutchison.
This is Jürgen Klopp, and you're listening to The Big Interview with Graham Hunter.
Thank you, Jürgen. I travel to all these interviews from Barcelona, and our socios, our beloved members, keep us on the road. This independent podcast wouldn't happen without them. Please go to patreon.com/Graham Hunter right now to join us, to become a socio, and to get every interview we produce without adverts and before it goes out on the main feed, plus lots of bonus content, including the chance to put questions to our guests and to me via the monthly Q&A. You will also get bonus content every month, including the audio versions of my regular columns for ESPN. So do please go to patreon.com/Graham Hunter and join the club and get your family and friends to do so. Maybe even strangers in the street. Love you. Hi there. Welcome to The Big Interview. It's Graham, your host. This is part two of my interview with our final guest of the 2021 season, İlkay Gündoğan. Between us, we decided to focus on İlkay's relationship with the Champions League as we were talking a little over a week away from Manchester City's final against Chelsea. He goes into some depth about the emotions of being an elite footballer, the impact it has on you when you don't win a Champions League final. Remember, he'd been there once before against Bayern Munich at Wembley. Anyway, here is İlkay, and he's going to tell you a bit about the mindset that helps him deal with these types of games and a great deal about his relationship with one of the most influential, important figures in modern football, Pep Guardiola. If you haven't listened to part one, do. Look out for his description of Pep Guardiola in three key words. It's as good as anybody I've ever heard describing the Catalan. Again, thank you to Kin Partners, to Alex at Manchester City, to Arif, to Onur and Ilhan for making this happen and giving us the privilege of spending considerable time with İlkay Gündoğan, a smashing footballer, and he's turned out to be a really articulate, intelligent guest on The Big Interview. If you enjoy this, please simply tell others to listen. We think it's different. Are we allowed to say that? In the case of Gündoğan, we think it's just good listening. Thank you.
I'm going to take a small risk because we have sponsors, Bet365, who support us all the time and keep us moving. When there is no COVID, we fly around Europe to interview guests. They've asked us to ask you to describe Pep Guardiola in three words. Now, please, you can choose three Turkish words, three German words, or three English words. But please, so long as you translate the ones, if you choose it in your mother tongues.
So, first word would be probably genius, because I've never worked with a manager who's so much into all the details of the game, who's able to have such an influence during a game, who's able to improve all the different players that he has worked with. And I mean, I know not just myself, I know also a lot of players who have worked with him in the past. And he might be not the easiest of characters, but who is really? After that, I come to my second word. But everywhere he was, when you talk with the players that he worked with, every player just admired to work with him, to learn from him. And he improved, I think, every team he worked in, and also all the players he worked with. So he's so influential. He's just amazing. And also the amount of titles he won, they just proved this. Second one is intense. And he is very intense. He's, as I said before, it might not be always easy, not just with him, generally what he wants from you, what he demands, what you need to deliver on the pitch. But it's never easy when you wanna be the best. So when you're competitive and you want to reach your maximum level and you want to get as good as possible, it needs to be intense, it needs to be difficult. So it's very challenging, but really in a positive way. And the third word to describe him for me would be kind of family, because I feel really close to him. I had a lot of downs with him, but also a lot of ups. I won with him, I lost with him. I know that family in general, people around him, friends, which he considers also family, as someone who's from Spain, you know, with that culture, who, you know, is very close with people, with his people. I know that this is for him also very important. And he has it mentioned also a few times also in the media, you know, when David Silva, as an example, had issues with his family going on. Family is always number one for him. And sometimes I try to look at him not just as a manager, also as a friend, as someone from the family. I would consider myself really close to him. And I really appreciate that, because he's not just an incredible manager, he's also a great human being to me.
I think, honestly, no flattery. It tells something to our listeners that you're a special man, because if you say, I work for an intense genius, and the third word, which you can explain also, is family and friend, that says something about the other half of the relationship. And now I have to talk about the other half of the relationship, because you said an extraordinary thing a couple of months ago. I want to talk about the nudge. You're playing for Dortmund. You're playing against Pep Guardiola's Bayern Munich. Now, I know from the first time I met Tuchel was in Berlin, and he was a Dortmund manager, and he was giving a big workshop to the Aspire Academy, and he said, I played Pep Guardiola's Bayern Munich last week, and it's hell. I come up with this idea, he comes up with that idea, and you talked about running around trying to compete against a matrix of players playing in a different way, in a different level, competing and trying to figure it out. But in the tunnel before a game, he just gives you a nudge. Just a little nudge. And I like detail. I love that. And you, because you open up about yourself, you said, could I play for him? I wonder. And he said to Cheeky Bekiristein, this is the number one guy. So let's go back to the nudge. And why did you remember that?
I think mainly I remembered it because for me, he was someone who I just admired. Like, especially watching his Barcelona side, you know, and I was still a teenager back then, watching his Barcelona sides play, playing not just with that success, you know, lifting all these trophies, just also the way they were playing, you know. I just, like, for me, it was always, when he was there, my biggest dream ever was to play in that side. I think I was just, I don't know, 17, 18, 19 maybe, I was, or 20. But it was just, it was so far away, but that was just incredible just to watch, you know, them playing. I don't know, I just loved it so much. And then he came to the Bundesliga. It was exciting. We faced them many, many times. It was, as you said it, it was always so, so difficult to play against this side, because you thought they always have a plan, and their plan is always better than the actual plan that you have. So they always have an answer for your plan. And then instead of them adapting to your plan, you're always forced to adapt to their plan. And let's be honest, we beat them maybe a couple of times in numerous of games, but we never really deserved it. I remember especially one game. It was a cup semifinal. And over 120 minutes, they destroyed us. Like, I think they had possession of 60, 70% maybe. They had so many chances. And the game finished a draw after 120 minutes. I don't know if it was 0-0 or 1-1. And then we went into penalties. And we beat them on penalties because I think they slipped. Two of their players slipped a couple of times. They missed penalties. And we beat them, and we were so happy afterwards in the dressing room, obviously, because we went into the final. But I was sitting there just asking myself, how did we win this game? It was just incredible. And you know, the older I got, the more my mindset changed a little bit. And this is also something I think he taught me. Obviously, passively when I was playing against him, and then actively when I was playing for him and starting to work with him, that I can be even happy after a game that I lose or that I don't win. I can, because the moment the referee blows his final whistle, I exactly know if I was able to deliver in that moment, in that match, everything I had, or not. And there are always games that you feel a bit unlucky, and of course you're sad. I remember, as an example, that Champions League game against Tottenham when we got knocked out after the 95th minute when Raheem scored the goal, and before there was a goal and it was offside, and we got knocked out. And after the game I was so, so sad and so disappointed, so frustrated. But I really had the feeling I gave it all on the pitch. I gave it all. And since today, I think we played great. Of course, we did stupid mistakes. We conceded 3 goals. But really, we really played a really good game. And of course, I was angry. I was sad. I was disappointed. But at the end of the day, I was able to tell myself, okay, I give it all today. And it was not meant to be. And we continue from here. And this is really something that I've learned, that I'm not looking into wins, trophies, points anymore that much. I just look into that feeling that I have, this satisfaction that you feel inside yourself, you know, that feeling that you have. And if that's the case, probably most of the time you will also win, this will come automatically. But even if not, the world goes not down, and you can still be happy about what you did.
I enjoyed that answer, and if I've understood it correctly, I interviewed Cavani on Sunday ahead of the game v Villarreal, and he talked about how for him, of course, winning and trophies are really important, but for him, his life in football has to be about the journey. It has to be about how I've changed, how I've worked against adversity, whether it's personal adversity or football adversity. And that feels slightly related to what you're saying, because you're talking about have I given the best of me? Have I followed? Have I given the coach what he asked of me? Have we given a great spectacle, even if we didn't? Because getting used to defeat is what every sportsman and woman has to do. It's a shit feeling, but you have to get used to it. So the journey, if you use those moments when you come off, even Spurs, and you go, I know we played well, I know we did the right things, next time it will come, it develops you as a person, not just as a footballer?
I'm sure it does, I'm sure. I mean, in general, football gave me so much, so many opportunities in general. And the fact that I'm sitting here, you know, we're having this conversation, I'm in a foreign country, you know, like for a few years already in a city, I came to a city that I didn't know before. I was never here apart from a game that I had with Dortmund. I didn't know anyone. I mean, it's just the whole journey itself, you know, that comes with it. Not just in my football life, in my general life, in my social life. So I appreciate it. I appreciate also the setbacks. I appreciate the difficult moments that I had, and I had a lot. A lot of defeats, a lot of setbacks with injuries, a lot of difficult moments in my career so far. But always I was able to react well, to come back well from that. And every time it gave me something. And mostly I would say it gave me satisfaction, you know, that I was able to come back, you know, like to be again on the top of my game. And I don't know, it's just, I think that's the challenge of life, isn't it, in general, not just in football, in general. So we always try to do our best. Sometimes it's not enough. You fail, you lose, but then it's about standing up again and then, try to proceed again.
Before the rest of this big interview, I'd like to tell you that our entire archive of audio and video content is now on our new YouTube channel. We've begun filming all of our interviews, and there are already loads of clips with guests, including Rio Ferdinand, Connor Cody, Brendan Rodgers, and Jamie Carragher, plus full interviews for you to watch and to share. Please do share with friends. Go to YouTube and search Graham Hunter, or click on the link in the show notes to this episode and become a subscriber. I honestly think you'll enjoy it. Thanks.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
We have members, socios, who support us as well as our sponsors, Bet365. And I want to say thanks to Stephen O'Reilly, Robert Ryan, Ben Nicholson, and Gareth Scriven. Gareth has written in to us and says, Ilkay has added more goals to his game this season. Although I remember I wasn't in the games, but for Bochum, you scored more regularly than you did later for Nuremberg and for Dortmund. But you have added, this is your number one senior season for scoring goals. And Gareth wants to know, have you changed your own game to get more goals? Or is it completely a positional thing that the team is functioning in a way that allows you to be in different areas? Which is the better way to interpret it?
I think the second one, definitely. Definitely the second one. People keep telling me, oh, you're in the best form of your life and the best situation of your career so far. And then I always answer that I don't do anything different, to be honest. I take care of myself as I did the last few years. I feel the same way that I felt last year. They keep asking me, like, what you're doing different? and I don't know the answer, to be honest. As simple as that. You know, sometimes the team changes slightly, the selection is maybe a little bit different, the way you approach the game is a bit different. And I remember when we were in a quite difficult moment in the beginning of the season, in October, November time, our manager tried to fix a couple of things, try to adapt a little bit, try to change our game slightly, try to change the approach slightly. And more and more it allowed me to come into a different role and to take also maybe a little bit more responsibility in terms of going forwards into the opponent's box. And then obviously once I started scoring goals and once this whole machine of the 11 players on the pitch started to work out quite well, it's kind of easy after that, to be honest. It's maybe weird to say, but it's just about repeating it again and again and again and again. And of course, I was then in a moment where I had a lot of confidence after I scored my first 2, 3, 4 goals in December, January time. And honestly, February, March, I don't even remember how, like, it went past so quick. And I scored all these goals. I don't even remember how anymore, to be honest. It was just like, for me, it was the most normal thing just to go on the pitch, you know, to score, and then just to leave the pitch again. It sounds maybe weird, and I don't want it to sound arrogant at all, but I was not even thinking about anything else than just doing the same that I did in January, you know, beginning of February. And I think the outcome was just, you know, by repeating every time this and having that same feeling, the same confidence inside yourself, that it just happened automatically. I even remember the Spurs game at home when I scored 2 goals. I had to get off the pitch because I started to feel a bit my groin, my adductor. And I knew in that moment when I was off the pitch, because that was something extraordinary then, you know, that was something, okay, you're in such a good form in a run, and then you got taken out of this, and you're forced to, even when you just have a break of 2, 3, 4, 5 days without training, without a match, maybe you're missing one game, you're immediately out of this feeling. This feeling is gone. And that's why I targeted to come back as quick as possible, because I didn't want to lose that feeling, you know? And I remember the doctor saying to me after that game, okay, it will take a few days. You might miss a couple of matches at least. And me, I was aiming to come back as soon as possible. And I remember I just missed one game away at Everton, and the next game at Arsenal away, I was on the pitch again. I played full 90 again. So I wanted to get in shape as quick as possible and not to lose anything of this momentum.
You've anticipated my second last one, and I felt it was a cheeky one, but again, I feel a connection. I only ever scored amateur football goals or amateur hockey goals. But when you score, Ilkay, particularly if you're scoring regularly, let's now not talk about winning games or trophies or salary. The act of scoring. I talk to myself a lot. I talk to myself in my head. I talk out loud a lot. And when I talk to myself, I'm a happier person. When you score goals, I think it changes you. I think you're sunnier, happier, more confident. Maybe I'm talking rubbish, but do you feel that when the goals are going in? Do you walk with an extra little bit of happiness and confidence outside the game, not in the game?
Definitely. I mean, I was never the type of guy in my professional career, at least, that was scoring, 10 plus goals per season, as everyone knows. Once you get into that run that I've mentioned before, and once you start scoring, that feeling of scoring, you know, is also something you need to get used to. You know, like your teammates coming to you, hugging you, celebrating you, basically, that you are the goal scorer. The people on the sideline, the staff, I mean, obviously there was no crowd this season. So it's the people outside who are celebrating in a certain way you at the end of the day. It's also something you need to get used to. And sometimes it's intimidating, really. Sometimes, like, when you're the center of attention, you know, especially before you score, when you're in this goal-scoring position and everything is just, you know, like, concentrating on you and what you're going to do, it's putting you a little bit under pressure. And when you're not used to that feeling, how to deal with that situation and maybe not to overthink stuff, you're doing better. And of course, when you start scoring and repeat and repeat and repeat, the more often you get into that position, the better you are able to deal with it. And it's just basically, at the end of the day, it's like training, you know, it's like training. So I definitely agree. It's something you need to live, you know, and probably that's also a reason why some people maybe have just 1, 2, and me as well. I had it as well. I had maybe last season, I don't know, I had maybe 3 goals in the league. I don't really remember, but not many. But then now, the fact that I told you, I don't even remember how these goal scoring positions, you know, how I came into them and how it happened, how it was meant to be that I score, because I was not really thinking about it.
It's a beautiful thing that you have inside you. The last one then is, let's not talk about Chelsea, let's not talk about winning or losing, but let's talk about those. I hope as many of those people that were in your living room watching the Champions League with you when you were a kid are still with us, still alive. I want to think about what will they think when they see you, I hope lining up for City, but certainly in Oporto, light blue strip, not bench, I hope, but in the squad with you, another Champions League final for İlkay Gündoğan, your grandparents, regent in Turkey, the friends from Bochum as a young player, Gelsenkirchen as a developing guy. What will be going through their hearts and heads, and how much do you have to just package that up and put it away pretty soon?
Honestly, probably the best for me is not to think about that too much, because I can imagine. I'm sure that a lot of these people, a lot of people in my family, of my friends, they want me more to win that trophy than I probably want myself. I feel it, you know, and not just with the Champions League, in general. When I get hurt, when I get an injury, I see my parents much more worried for me than myself. When I get a small knock, my mom nearly cries on the phone, you know, and is worried about what happened. When I lose a game, people are sometimes more disappointed. My friends are more disappointed, angrier than me, maybe. On the opposite side, when I win, they are also more able to show their emotions, their happiness, their joy. Than I am, actually, because I don't know. Sometimes I'm a weird guy, and I can't always show my emotions. They will be, of course. I hope they will be proud. I'm sure they will be proud to see me there in that final once again. And of course, this time they will hope that I will be on the winner's side and I will be able to lift that trophy. And at the end of the day, it wouldn't be just my achievement, or in general, I don't see my career as my personal achievement. I see it as an achievement of my family, of my friends, of people who supported me, former managers, former teammates. Everyone played his part, and I appreciate every moment that I lived. I'm very grateful and thankful to all the people that played a role in my life.
Okay. I hope when they listen to this, you've made many new friends and supporters who'll be pitching for you on the night of the 29th. I need to say thanks to Florian, to Honor, to Ilhan, to you, 1,000% to you for being so articulate, so friendly, for sharing your love of this game. It's been a huge pleasure. And also, I suppose we have to say thanks to Pep for nudging you as well.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. The pleasure was mine.
Thank you for listening to The Big Interview. It's produced by me, which sounds egotistical, but it's also true, Graham Hunter, and Backpage. Our music is by Beer Jacket, who else? Editing by Charlie McGarry. Thank you to our hosts at Acast and our loyal sponsors at Bet365. We're also supported by our socios. Find out how to become a socio, how to support us, at patreon.com/Graham Hunter. Here endeth the lesson.
Do you ever feel like your brain is on overdrive and your mind is constantly racing? The plans, worries, and to-do lists are never ending. Calm can help your mind take a break from the noise by softening anxiety symptoms in the moment and helping you cope with day-to-day stressors. Calm is the number one app for sleep and meditation, giving you the power to calm your mind and change your life. Their meditations range to fit your needs each day, from anxiety and stress, relaxation and focus, to building habits and taking care of your physical well-being. They even have expert-led talks on topics such as tips for overcoming stress and anxiety, handling grief, improving self-esteem, caring for relationships, and more. For listeners of the show, Calm is offering an exclusive offer of 40% off a Calm premium subscription at calm.com/stressless. Go to calm.com/stressless for 40% off unlimited access to Calm's entire library. That's calm.com/stressless.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.